Hallelujah. Wednesday night family reunion. Amen. Hallelujah. If you were here last Wednesday, you heard Elder Galeno continue his teaching on Revelation. And Bob, I want to thank you for that labor of love, sir. You're a blessing to our church family. Amen. We went through chapters 15 and 16, and if you weren't here, get the CD. But as Bob went through the seven bowls in chapter 16, describing God's wrath and indignation, I felt a familiar feeling that I call spirit grief. It's not the spirit of grief. That's a real thing too, but what I'm talking about is spirit grief. It's a feeling in the pit or the depths of my spirit, man, that something's just not right. Sometimes I get it when I get a blind spot revealed. Sometimes I get this feeling when I know I opened my mouth and said something I shouldn't and somebody got offended. But this was different. Wednesday night was different. It was more like I knew I was... It reminded me of what I'm supposed to be doing, if that makes any sense to you. So think about those bowls, that wrath. You know, that's really going to happen. That's real. That didn't start out with once upon a time, folks. That's really going to happen. And I don't want anyone to have to go through that. Not my worst enemy. Not my coworkers. Certainly not my family members. Amen? And what the Lord showed me is we're not helpless. We're not helpless where all this is concerned. We don't have to simply accept this for some of our family members, some of our coworkers, and even our enemies. We don't have to accept it. And the reason we're not helpless is because of the teachings we get right here. So although I didn't realize it at the time, the Lord was putting me on a track for this message. So I'm like you, my life's kind of repetitious. I mean, we leave church on Wednesday, I go home, I take my suit off, I put my jammies on, and I go down and I sit in my recliner. And as I sat there, the Lord's given me scriptures, you know. It wasn't long before Pastor Jack's text came in. Say, brother, are you going to have a message ready for Wednesday? Now, I know LOL is an acronym that's so blown out of proportion, but I literally laughed out loud when I read his text. And I didn't lie. I said, no, I don't have anything right now, but I will. Praise God. He was already working on it. Amen. Well, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, brother. No, not exactly. Not exactly. There's nothing mysterious about it. Amen? So what do you say I just get to my assignment tonight? Amen? Church, we are called. You are called. Say that. I am called.
I am called.
Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Pastor Jack used the scriptures on Sunday. We're going to read them again tonight. We're going to read verses 17 through 19 from the New King James. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So first, we accepted the free gift of salvation when we accepted Christ, resulting in our being in Christ. The Amplified says, I love it, it says, we are engrafted in Christ the Messiah. We are engrafted in Christ the Messiah. The very next verse tells us We're called into the ministry. Listen to verse 18 in the Amplified Classic. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, in brackets it says, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That by word and deed, I like that, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Amen. By word and deed. Just let that sink into your spirit right now. Word and deed. When I read that, I think of Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land, right? So, word and deed, willing and obedient. Pastor taught us that's our attitude and our actions. So, with your permission, even without your permission, I'm going to amplify the Amplified tonight. That by word and deed we might aim, set our hearts, focus in, put the crosshairs on, and willingly do our best to bring others into harmony with him. Let me read that again. That by word and deed we might aim, set our hearts, focus in, put the crosshairs on, and willingly do our best to bring others into harmony with him. What's our motivation besides Revelation chapter 16, right? Listen to verse 19 in the Amplified. It was God, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Mick. 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to read verse 19 now. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. Amen. Yeah. Say, brother, who do you think you are? Doesn't matter what I think. Read verse 20. So we're ambassadors. Excuse me. We are Christ's ambassadors. Doesn't matter what I think. That's who we are. We are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, listen to this, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. You might be thinking, how can I be an ambassador for God? Brother Dean, you don't know what I did. It's not about what you did. It's about what he did. Amen? Verse 21, for our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin. And in and through him, we might become, Amplified says, endued with, being viewed in, and examples of the righteousness of God. What we ought to be. Approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. I love to read these scriptures in the jail, and especially to new believers, because the look on their face when you tell them they've been called into the ministry is deer in the headlights, at least, right? You know, what you talking about, Willis? Me in the ministry? It can be a little intimidating, right? So what I want to do this evening is just break down this ministry of reconciliation that we've all been called into, and I also want to encourage you to develop a can-do attitude. So the first item on our agenda tonight is to define the word ministry. What's the definition of ministry? I'm going to go to the original Greek in verse 18. The original Greek word for ministry is diakonia. People say diakonia, according to blueletterbible.org, little guy you click on and gives you the pronunciation. It's diakonia. It means service, especially of those who execute the commands of others. So ministry is service. Can we agree on that? Okay. So let's take a closer look at the word that was translated reconciliation. In verse 18, that word is katalage. It means exchange. Adjustment of a difference, restoration to favor, but I like 2a. It says in the New Testament, of the restoration of the favor of God to sinners that repent and put their trust in Jesus. That's powerful, church. Pastor Bannon refers to 2 Corinthians 5:21 as the what? Divine exchange, right? For he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I like how the Message Bible puts it. Those of you who get my daily scripture verses know I love me some Message Bible. It says, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so that we could be put right with God. So based on the original Greek and everything else we just talked about, this is what I concluded. We have been called into the service of executing the commands of Almighty God to tell the lost about the divine exchange made on our behalf by the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How's that? We've been called into the service of executing the commands of Almighty God to tell the lost about the divine exchange made on our behalf by the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are to explain to them simply that Jesus is a good deal and convince them to accept that free gift. Amen? That by word and deed we might aim, set our hearts, focus in, put the crosshairs on, and willingly do our best to bring others into harmony with him. Ministry is service. That means we render service. We are servants. We wait upon others. That's what we do. No, it's not always glamorous. Is it ever glamorous, Pastor Jack? Reconciliation means that there is a change on the part of one party or person only, induced by another party. That is, only one person changes their mind and is reconciled to the other. My word tells me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess who's changing? So let's look at some scriptures that explain reconciliation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Just back a few chapters. I'm sorry, Romans 5, verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. This is the New King James. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's good, but I like, once again, I love me some Message Bible. If when we were at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of his Son, now that we're at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of his resurrection life. It was because God offered his Son for our sins, that was his action, that we can be reconciled back to him. Church, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Amen? Amen. Turn to the right. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians is right after Philippians. Colossians 1, I'm going to read verses 20 and 21 out of the New Living Translation. Colossians 1, verse 20, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Thank you, Lord. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. You say, boy, Dean, that sounds kind of harsh. Listen to the life application study note for verse 21. Because we were alienated from God, we were strangers to His way of thinking, and we were enemies. Sin corrupted our way of thinking about God. Wrong thinking leads to sin, which further perverts and destroys our thoughts about Him. When we were out of harmony with God, our natural condition was to be totally hostile to His standards. We were once enemies of God, church, in our minds, but now as believers, thank God we're reconciled back to Him. 2 Corinthians 5:19, King James says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God has given us the word of reconciliation. I think there's an important key here. It is His word that we have to speak. We must speak the word, the word, the word, because no words that we can devise are going to reconcile someone back to God. It's not going to happen. We got to have the word, the word, the word. And to have that, you can't give out what you don't have inside. So that means there's some work on our part, right? Look to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to chapter 3 this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
Save all your amens and hallelujahs for Pastor Jack. You don't have to waste none on me. Praise God. I don't need that stuff. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Heckle away. Verse 2 says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And that's good, but I think the New Living Translation makes it even clearer. It says, the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. Church, others are going to read us before they ever pick up a Bible. Amen? Our pastor said, taught us that we may be the only Bible some people ever read. If the word is in our hearts, we're going to act like it. So ask yourself this question. Do we act like we're reconciled to God? Do we act like it? Do we manifest agape, unconditional, God kind of love? If we do, the word we speak is going to have the exact desired effect on our listeners. Confession time. In my early years of jail ministry, I made mistakes when I allowed attitudes and comments by some to take me out of my purpose for being there. In a nutshell, I let love slip is what I did. I got to tell you, when I started typing this up, I looked at that statement.
In my early years of jail ministry.
I'm like, dear God, I went to my first teenager's dinner. I'm starting to talk like an old man now. Yeah? That was my first. First one I was qualified for. So I let love slip, church. And man, the enemy, he knows how to get us to do that, don't you know? He knows who to use. He knows what to get them to say at the perfect time to get them to say it to take us right out of the love walk. For this reason, we got to be prayed up, man. Got to be prayed up, and we can never forget whose we are and who we serve. Who is it? Come on, this is Wednesday. Who is it? Thank you.
Get her a cup of coffee next week, will you? She's a little slow on it.
First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. If you can't have fun at church, stay home, all right? First Peter 3, listen to verse 15 from the Amplified Classic. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But, wish it stopped there, but it didn't. But do it courteously and respectfully. So what ended up happening is I found myself defending God for some off-the-wall misinterpretation of somebody's scripture or someone's unfounded criticism of Jesus. And pretty soon I was in an argument, and courtesy and respect weren't anywhere to be found. Weren't anywhere to be found. Fortunately, it didn't take me long to realize that God doesn't need me to defend him. Just needs me to show love, man, right? So there's always going to be opposition. As soon as you step out, speak out for the Lord, there's going to be opposition. Why? Because the enemy knows his time is short. We need to do our best and let God do the rest. We need to do our best, let God do the rest. And I know the word says if, but I'm just going to tell you tonight, God is for us. Say, God is for me. Who can be against me? The answer is nobody. Listen to 1 Peter 3. This is verses 13 through 18 from the Message Bible. If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention. In adoration before Christ your Master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing they're the ones that need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good if that's what the Lord wants than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of others' sins. The righteous won for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. Speak the word of reconciliation. We must know it first. I said it before, you can't give out what you don't have inside. It can only be accomplished through study. And look to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 15 from the Amplified. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, in parentheses, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Timmy, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember it. When we first started coming to the pulpit, Pastor pulled us aside, and there's not a mess. I don't sit down in front of my computer to start preparing a message that I don't hear him in the back of my mind saying, son, you got to handle the word skillfully. Right. Amen? Amen? So we have to handle the word skillfully, and we have to study to do that. Amen? Look to Ephesians chapter 6. Pastor Jack used this on Sunday as well. I love it when the Holy Ghost brings confirmation, you know. Ephesians 6, we're going to read verses 10 through 18, New King James. Familiar scriptures, church. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How often should we be putting that armor on?
Every day.
Every day. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. As ambassadors, we have to be bold. Have to have courage. Amen? Amen. Listen to Paul's request in the next two verses. This is Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. New King James, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought. And I still love the Message Bible. He says, and don't forget to pray for me. Pray that I'll know what to say and have the courage to say it at the right time, telling the mystery to one and all, the message that I, jailbird preacher that I am responsible for getting out. I like that. Jailbird preacher kind of has a little. 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us that it's Jesus' desire that not one be lost, church. Not one. This is his desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Listen to 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 through 7 from the Message. He wants not only us, but everyone saved. That'll preach right there. He wants not only us, but everyone saved. You know, everyone to get to know the truth we've learned. That there's one God and only one God. And one priest mediator between God and us, Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Church, we're coming up on a time in this ministry that's kind of bittersweet for me. Our pastor's going to be retiring at the end of the year. And I know he's not going away. He's going to be around. But it's bittersweet. And I have to tell you, I'm proud of this ministry, man. I love this ministry. It's a privilege to be a deacon, to be a servant in this house. It's an honor and a privilege to minister from this pulpit. Amen? I'm humbled by this privilege. But don't ever forget, this is Pastor John Bannon's Aliquippa Christian Assembly, man. This is his vision. And I've said it before, and I'm still saying it, that my life was forever changed because of his ministry. And I don't have to look any further than the second row to see lives that were changed as a direct result of my changed life. We are a product of his vision. Amen? We are the product of his vision. And, you know, I need that strong voice speaking into my life. I need it. That's why Pastor Jack is coming behind him. And I need it, and we need to rally around. We need to rally behind our pastor, man. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Speaking for myself, church, Jesus wiped out a ton of sins when he saved me. So I am therefore committed to tell anyone and everyone who will listen that Jesus is a good deal, man. Are you kidding me? He exchanged righteousness for my filthy sin. I honestly feel that this ministry is about to explode. And the reason for that is people are looking for the truth now. It's not they're going to be looking for. They're looking for the truth now. And bless God, that's the only thing that comes from this pulpit, no matter who is standing here. But especially when our ministry gifts are. Amen? You and I, church, need to be about the ministry of reconciliation. We need to be telling people that Jesus is a good deal. When God brings someone across our path, we got to be ready to jump into service. We got to be ready. That doesn't mean showing up for one service a month. Got to stop there because I'm going to get beyond where I need to be. So we'll just shut it down right there. And when we get that opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, we need to bring them in here so that they can sit under the anointed word, so that they too can take their part in the ministry of reconciliation. That's what's going to make the difference. Look around. Seriously, look around. Everybody, look around. See all those empty chairs? You and I are responsible for filling them. We're responsible. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, folks. Not Joe Smith down the street. Not just our pastors and the ministers. Us. Every born-again believer has the right, the privilege, and most of all, the responsibility to make sure others get reconciled to God. It's our responsibility. The ministry of reconciliation was committed to us by God, nobody else. And as the body of Christ, we got to be his mouth. We've got to be his legs, his arms, his hands. That's our job. One of the signs of a truly committed Christian is whether or not they share the word of God with others. You don't believe me? Ask yourself where you would be today if somebody hadn't shared the word with you. Real simple. Make it personal. You may not be comfortable sharing God's word. Let me tell you something. I'm convinced God don't want me comfortable. He wants me out of my comfort zone. If he wanted me in my comfort zone, I'd never have to come preach again. Seriously, fear is Satan's master spirit, and he will use that master spirit against you as much as you let him. Oh, did he just say that? Yeah. He'll use that spirit against you as much as you allow him to. Don't allow him. Sometimes when we have fear about some church, we just have to confront that fear and simply do it afraid. Right. I got the call to go inspect them letters up the steel building. Fear cometh.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
You don't want to step over that railing and get in that little bitty basket and load test it for him. But I could still hear my pastor saying, son, just do it afraid. And I did it afraid. Took me 6 times over the side to quit shaking. But you know what happens when you stand up to fear? Disappears. Disappears. Remember to do your best, church. That's all God expects. And let me just remind you, you are a Bannonite. You are well taught. That's what Bannonite means. It means you are well taught. You've been in training for the ministry of reconciliation since you first put your foot in the door. Amen? Your word level is so far above what you think it is. Speaking from personal experience, when you open your mouth and start ministering to somebody, that word's coming out of you. You've been sitting here under the anointed word of God for all these years. You open your mouth, it's going to blow you away.
Yeah.
It will. Can I get an amen from my jail minister father right now? I'm going to uncover you right now.
Yeah.
I didn't ask for your permission. I'm just telling you, fair warning, I'm going to uncover you. 2 weeks ago, my dad went into jail for the first time without either myself or Anthony. And by his own confession, he didn't sleep too well Sunday night. Now, what you have to know is that the Lord audibly called my dad into the jail ministry. 13 years ago! He ain't no rookie, man. Sorry, Bert, I know ain't a word. I used it. Forgive me. So I get all this information via text. So I text him back. I gave him Philippians 4, 6, and 7 out of the Amplified. You know, pray about nothing. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. I reminded him that it wasn't about us at all. And that Pastor Jack taught us on Sunday that we have to have faith in the Word. And then I gave him a chance to get out of it. I told him, if you still don't feel confident, I'll go in. And he declined, to his credit. But he did say that you're going to love this, Anthony. He said he lacked confidence because he didn't feel that he had the gift of gab that you and I have. Now, wait a minute. You could say that I have a gift of gab, but Anthony, we got to pull teeth to get him up here. Amen. So I told him that he had to have faith in the Word. And I sent him this text after he sent that back. I said, all you have to do is show up, submit yourself as the vessel, and trust Him to put the words that are already in your heart in your mouth. That was pretty sweet, wasn't it? I didn't stop there. I texted this in the second paragraph, Doc. You ready? If you weren't my dad, I would tell you it's time to throw away the sucky bottle, put your big boy pants on, and do what God called you to do. But I respect you too much, little wink emoji. Tell everybody how it went, Dad. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Seriously, church? My dad is powerful in there. Those guys love him, and I am more than a whole lot proud of him. That's the truth. The bottom line, church, is this. When you share God's word with others, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be shocked by how much comes out of you, and you're going to be blessed. It's something that you have to experience. Let the truth that we talked about last week in Revelation 16, let the truth about that upcoming wrath of God be our motivation. Let me remind you that you are called. Now, be the minister that God called you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I have delivered what I have received. Salute.